Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, a program we host every Wednesday evening here on the Talk Station. Look forward to tonight's conversation because some of the items we'll be chatting about will be breaking news. We'll talk about Turkey, Syria, and a few other events around the world, but also, of course, issues related to the States, and to get a broader perspective of how the rest of the world sees the events that we're so engaged in. As always, great deal of pleasure and appreciation to welcome Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you, Lockwood.
And quick question. I know that we've been talking about Hurricane Dorian now for the past couple of weeks. It's taken a long, circuitous route, but headed to, as a matter of fact, I think it crossed Ireland and is headed your way, or maybe it's already there. What's the weather like for you?
Wet. Very wet. Gray skies. Nothing but gray skies.
Okay, well, this is not a music radio, and that's definitely not music. So that's another story. My question for you, is this part of Hurricane Dorian that you're experiencing?
Well, you know, the hurricanes tend to go up the East Coast. They hit the East Coast of New England or Canada, Newfoundland, and they sort of bounce off and head across the Atlantic. But by the time they get to us, they've lost their wind strength.
Uh-huh.
We, you know, not always the case. We do get gales, but they still have a lot of water. And so we get a lot of rain.
Okay, so you're experiencing the residue, if you will, of Hurricane Dorian. Very interesting. It's one of those hurricanes that, you know, you don't get very many, though, that come across the Atlantic, such as Dorian, but unique experience. Okay, let's talk about other items and, of course, items that we're sending to you from the States. Always interested in hearing what is the news there in the UK and the European community about the events here in the States, particularly relationship to the impeachment endeavors?
Well, it's being reported in great detail. People are a bit surprised at the White House's refusal to participate. You know, why isn't he being charged, or why aren't people being charged with contempt of Congress? Or they may be charged with contempt of Congress. We don't know. It's all a bit up in the air, isn't it?
Well, it is. The other aspect of this, of course, is they've yet to host a formal impeachment inquiry. It's all been sort of happening. And, of course, as you know, the president's not going to respond to just a casual request. I say a casual, but a casual review. If there's going to be something formal, the House has yet to take up a vote to proceed with something formal. I'm curious about this. How important is this story on impeachment and the processes there in the UK? I mean, are you seeing a great deal of news?
Oh yes, okay. There's a great deal. I mean, it's sort of sharing the headlines of Brexit.
Okay.
You know, well, there's three things in the headlines now: Brexit, the impeachment, and of course, Turkey, Syria.
Okay.
And so those three events are sharing the headline. You know, the question has to be asked, you know, if there was a formal vote, and there probably might be, if there was a formal vote in the House, would the president be any more forthcoming? Well, we get the impression on this side of the Atlantic that he wouldn't.
We'll have to wait and see, as you said a few moments ago, Tom. But at this point, it's just been an effort among many who think here that this is just an effort to really influence the 2020 election. Let's talk about one other item here, and this is actually one that kind of resonates with you in your capacity and experience in the area of foreign affairs, particularly your wife as well. The decision by the State Department not to have Gordon Sondland to appear before the House, and this has all been more or less a casual endeavor, and I use that as opposed to a formal commitment on the part of the House. But what is the opinion related to Gordon Sondland's participation?
Well, again, they're very surprised. You know, I mean, he offered to participate. He was keen to participate. He was a political appointment. He was Trump's political appointment. He used to be a hotelier. He donated $1 million to the Trump campaign. He's going to be pro-Trump. When I read the exchange of emails, it seemed to be what Gordon Sondland was saying, that he supported Trump's position and didn't think he was doing anything wrong. I can't understand why he was being stopped by the White House from going before Congress.
Good question. I'm not sure that I know the answer to that, but I would argue it may have been purposeful for establishing a precedent That is to say that if they allowed one member of the, you know, the administration to make an appearance, that it would be opening the floodgate for demands for others. And what the president is demanding is, if you want to initiate a formal inquiry, initiate it. Don't do it. I'm kind of editorializing here, but that's one of the continued beliefs. The other aspect of this, and this goes back to the question as to whether or not other diplomats and other heads of state aren't beginning to question the security of their communications with the president. Is that not an issue of concern? I mean, these normally...
No, not particularly.
Really?
You know, they're more concerned with having a president who doesn't break the law. I know it hasn't been established.
Okay,
but, you
know, thank you.
Alleged. You know, they're more concerned. They're more concerned with that. And I'll tell you, they're more concerned also with a president who doesn't turn on his allies. You know, we'll come to that in a moment, which is the Kurds. And so, you know, American credibility is far more important.
Okay. All right. Let's talk. Since we're talking about President Trump, let's talk about this in relationship to, of course, the dispute related to his taxes. And I'm wondering also, is this, you know, how is this being perceived in the, well, obviously the UK, but the European community as well, related to the dispute between, again, the House and the president over his tax filings?
Well, they can't understand why he doesn't make his taxes public. I mean, you know, he's an elected official. He's the president of the United States.
Okay.
You want the president of the United States not to be a tax evader or avoider. And the only way you can determine whether or not he is whether or not he releases his taxes for public scrutiny.
Well, here's related to the issue of tax avoidance. I think that that is a natural activity. Of course, we talk about this in relationship to taxes and taking advantage of tax opportunities, tax loopholes, things of this nature. That's avoiding taxes. That happens all the time. What about in the European community? Are the leaders themselves challenged for their tax and financial? Really?
Yeah, they are. And Boris Johnson, for instance, had to pay the American government something like $150,000 in taxes.
But that's the American government. I'm talking about the UK.
No, well, I mean, regularly. No, the taxes are, you know, you can look at anyone's tax returns, basically. And especially elected officials, it's all open. Very transparent.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to have an elected official, they should be scrutinized.
Well, I think this elected official is being scrutinized to the nth
degree. No, their taxes should be scrutinized. Well, you want an honest person in the White House or in 10 Downing Street or in the Elysee Palace. And if they're not, I mean, I can tell you that at various intervals, the French president or French prime ministers and other prime ministers have been called up for tax evasion or corruption, and they have been booted out of office as a result.
All right. So this is a topic that, of course, is something that is familiar then with the European community.
Yes.
Oh, all right. And so has this been getting much play as well?
I mean, you know, the people over here are human as well.
No. I find that a bit of a shock. Tom Harms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. Breaking news, we've discovered that there are humans on the other side of the Atlantic. Tom, would that include you by any chance?
No.
Okay, you had me worried there for a moment. LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio, of course. We've got, joining us this afternoon, Viewpoints Around the World, Tom Arms. And we'll be coming back with more. We'll talk about President Trump one more time related to Syria and the Kurds. So stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. Again, just to mention, he is in the United Kingdom, or he's in London, as a matter of fact. So he's some 5 hours ahead of us in time. Definitely way behind us, though, in advancements and knowledge. But still in all, always a fun person to have around. Thought I'd throw that in on your behalf there, Tom. But this portion has been pre-recorded. Tom, quick question for you, and you alluded to it earlier in the break and before the break. And this is an important story, and one that's breaking literally right now. The issue of President Trump, Turkey, Syria, and, of course, ISIS. What's the news there?
They are completely befuddled. I mean, how Trump could basically destroy American credibility by walking out on the Kurds is beyond people. And how the way he did it, by not even bothering to consult anyone else in his administration, we understand the Pentagon even wasn't even told about it until after the tweet, is just people are amazed. They're amazed by his tweet also when he talks about his unparalleled or unmatched wisdom in making this decision. There are other things that are related to it. For instance, just adjoining the area that the Turks are going into are the camps where ISIS families and fighters are being held prisoner. 70,000 of them. Is a good chance that this will destabilize those camps. On top of that, there's the problem of fighting in neighboring Iraq. Again, there's the possibility that ISIS may be taking advantage of that. We do know that there are still tens of thousands of ISIS fighters underground. The war against ISIS is far from over. And yet the president seems to be thinking it is.
But, okay, Tom, here's a quick question and the audience would like to know. We understand that we've played a key role in this issue in the Middle East, particularly with Iraq, Iran, ISIS, Syria. But my question goes to what role is the European community playing in this? And, you know, if the U.S. creates a vacuum, will the European armies and the military play a role in filling that vacuum? Why is it perceived that the U.S. must be the police force of the world?
I knew you were going to ask that question. And I think you have to work on the basis that the U.S. is the world's largest military force. It is the world's richest country. It's just like when you pay taxes, the people who pay taxes, the most taxes, are the people who own and earn the most money. They have a greater responsibility. They have a greater stake in the system working properly.
Wait. I think the European community has a greater stake in this.
No, and the European community is not a political entity in the same way the United States. It is a collection of nation states, 28 nation states. It doesn't have an army. It doesn't have an army. It doesn't have its own foreign office. It is a collection of states. And so it's up to each individual state to decide how much to contribute.
Why not create?
That's a political reality.
Okay. But there's a political reality here in the States here, by the way. In essence, the U.S. has been engaged in warfare, quite frankly, since 2003.
Okay. There's something else I can address here.
Okay.
Because Trump has been doing his very best by supporting things like Brexit to undermine the EU. If he wants the EU to take on more of a political and military role in the world, then he has to help strengthen it.
But Tom.
No, he's not doing that. He's trying to weaken it.
Tom, that is an assumption on your part.
No, it is not. It is
an assumption.
True.
It is an assumption.
It is perfectly true.
No, it is an assumption. Who knows that maybe the removal.
His own ambassador has said this.
Well, fine. So we disagree. Hey, just because you're wrong.
No, you're disagreeing with his ambassador.
Well, it doesn't matter. He can. And I would argue we're disagreeing as well. I just think that you're dealing with absolutes. I don't think that there is an absolute here. And I've got to go back to the point. You avoided this. I say you. I argue that the European community has avoided it as well. Since 2003, the U.S. has been engaged in armed conflict in Afghanistan, Iraq, the surrounding areas of Iran, Syria. We've even stepped in Lebanon. This is getting the U.S.
In 2003, George W. Bush invaded Iraq. He tried to get international support. He made a unilateral decision with the British. He made a unilateral decision to invade Iraq. That was his decision.
And by the way, we would be happier with Saddam Hussein or his two sons running Iraq at this point?
No, I'm not saying you would, but you're complaining.
No, I'm not complaining.
You're complaining about the unilateral decision the U.S. administration made.
I'm saying we have done our job. I'm arguing we have done our job.
I'm saying that the consequences of withdrawing from the Middle East at the moment could be very severe.
Then I think
they're going to be a lot worse than keeping what you had there, which was a symbolic force of 200 troops. That's all it was 200 troops.
And
200 men was all you had.
It doesn't matter.
Providing basically a symbolic and political support to the Kurds.
And we were facing a opportunity to engage in possible armed conflict with Recep Erdogan and the Turkish army. And by removing the troops, this is one argument now.
Now you're raising a good question, because I wanted to ask you this one.
Uh-huh.
The conversation, telephone conversation between Erdogan and Trump. Are you saying that Trump withdrew the troops because Erdogan threatened to attack the U.S.
The effort possibly to do the two things here, Tom. Two things. And I'm a little bit off outside of my...
Because we haven't heard that.
There are two things. One, to avoid conflict. But two, because, quite frankly, the European community has botched any opportunity to reengage with Turkey on the issue of NATO and keeping them in the European Union. The idea here being that maybe Turkey would be well suited as an ally rather than as an adversary, since they've also decided to do a lot of business with the Russians.
You have your own problem. U.S. has its own problems with Turkey because Turkey bought the Russian missile defense system instead of the American. So, and you threaten all sorts of terrible sanctions against Turkey, which haven't really materialized.
Well, let's put it this way.
Turkey cannot be a member of the EU as long as it has things like capital punishment, as long as it's courts and it doesn't have a free press. The EU has to be...
Okay.
All its members are members of a democratic club, and Turkey is not a democratic country at the moment.
Okay. I want to move on to a few other quick items, because we've got a lot to cover today with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, let's stay with the Middle East. Iraqi protest. What is that? What does that portend, in your opinion?
Well, it's right next door to Syria. You know, so if it's all linked together, the Sunnis and the Shiites are starting to fight each other again in Iraq, and things are falling apart nicely there. Again, you have ISIS waiting in the wings.
Okay.
You have the Turks moving into the Kurdish areas in northern Syria. They're going to be pushed back. It could fall apart very nicely.
Okay. So there's some concern there. I want to go back to the States with two other items here before we go to a break, and we're going to get into Brexit and a few other items, even including basketball, as a matter of fact. I do want a quick question with you. Supreme Court case here in the United States on the issue of LGBTQ and the ability of private businesses to hire and or employ or not employ people who self-identify. Question, is that getting any interest? That's a big issue here in the States, and I'm just wondering if it got any coverage there. It's just now being introduced as a Supreme Court case.
No, I haven't seen it being reported here, but we do have the issue here, obviously.
Okay.
And one of the issues recently is involving the National Health Service.
Ah.
And that is people who self-identify as one sex or other, decide which ward they're going to be on in a hospital.
No. Really?
Yes. That is now the policy of the NHS. You might also be interested to know that there is a program called Dancing on Ice, and they have just announced today that they're going to have their first gay couple dancing on ice.
Okay.
Or same sex, I should say.
Right. Yeah. At six and one half dozen the other. Okay. Very interesting. So even the UK the UK and the European community are not immune from this issue. Another quick question related to the situation of the investigation related to the president, but the continued coverage and gaining momentum here in the States on the role of former Vice President Joe Biden, his son Hunter Biden, and the Ukrainians, and of course now, I shouldn't say newly disclosed documents, but particularly photographs of the vice president, his son, and members of the Ukrainian gas company playing golf while the vice president, of course, was in that position. Is there any feeling that there needs to be further review on that case?
Every story I read has a single sentence line in it.
Okay.
There is no evidence that either Joe Biden or Hunter Biden did anything wrong.
Okay.
That's in virtually every British news outlet.
You know, that should come under the category of not fake news, but naivete. I will leave it at that for a moment, Tom. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, joining us from London, England, where, once again, just to remind you, this portion has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule, since Tom is now, well, pretty closely sound asleep, I'm sure. It's nearly 11:30 p.m. his time. Tom, let's continue our conversation about issues around the world, and we'll get to Brexit here in a moment, but we've been talking about international issues, and two items I do want to touch on. One related to diplomatic immunity for a U.S. The wife of a U.S. You note here a U.S. spy.
Yep, it turns out he was attached to intelligence agency.
Uh huh. And his wife was involved in an automobile accident.
Yeah, she'd only been in the country for a few weeks, and she came out of an American airbase driving on the wrong side of the road, and hit and killed a British motorcyclist.
Okay. And she has since been returned to the U.S. And, of course, I guess there's...
The entire family.
Okay.
In fact, what we've been told, or what I've learned, is that they were not on the diplomatic list.
Okay.
And they were sort of retrospectively given diplomatic immunity and hoisted out of the country as quickly as possible. She had already gone to the police, reported the accident. She didn't try to hide it, and said that she would not be leaving the country.
Mm. Okay.
I think it was probably a State Department decision to pull them out. The British are absolutely livid.
I wondered about that. Yeah. All right. Any progress in this, in the conclusion of this issue? At this point.
I can tell you that Boris Johnson has intervened personally in this.
Okay.
And has contacted Donald Trump.
All right.
But we don't know what the response is.
Okay. I just wanted to get that story out.
Basically, the word is, what's the point of having a special relationship if you're going to do things like this?
All right. Let's move to Brexit. We've got other things to talk about related to diplomacy. We'll get back to that in a moment. But as we like to say here, the elephant in the room, Brexit. Anything new?
Well, it looks like we're heading straight for a no deal, or an extension, one or the other. They just don't seem to be able to agree. And they're going to have a special sitting of Parliament on the 19th of October. They've only had Parliament sit on Saturday. It's a Saturday sitting. Mm-hmm. Parliament has only sat on a Saturday three times since September the 2nd. 1939. That's how rare it is.
All right. So with that said, what will happen at this sitting? Is there a chance that, you know?
Well, again, it's all up in the air. They're hoping that there'll be something which be presented to Parliament, some sort of deal, or they might say, we want Parliament to vote on no deal, or they might even say, we want Parliament to vote on whether or not to remain in the EU. It's all sort of options. The big question is, Trump says, he's told the courts, they tried to tighten up some legislation forcing him not to accept a no deal. They tried to tighten up the legislation by going to the courts. And Boris Johnson wrote to the courts and said, I will respect the will of Parliament. If Parliament says, and it has said, that I have to extend extend the period of time we are in the EU and avoid a no deal, then I will write a letter to that effect, because that's what Parliament has passed legislation saying.
Wow.
But at the same time, he said, I will write the letter, but we will still leave on the 31st of October. Now, nobody knows how he intends to square that circle. There's all sorts of speculation. People are saying, for instance, that he's courting the Hungarians, who are the most illiberal of the EU members and on the verge of being booted out. He's thinking of courting the Hungarians to veto an extension of British membership.
So
he can write the letter, but it doesn't matter because the Hungarians veto it.
All right. We're talking about Brexit. Let's talk about the impact of this. I've got a note here that's very interesting. No deal Brexit to push the UK debt to a 50-year high?
Yep. They're talking that it's going to cost trillions and trillions of pounds or dollars. The thinking behind it is quite simple. But, you know, if you pull out of the EU, well, there's several things. One is Boris Johnson is trying to buy votes at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So he's spending money like water. That's number one. And the Labour Party is in the same position. They're promising all sorts of things. But if you pull out of the EU, your economy, everyone says the economy is going to go into recession,
mm-hmm.
which means your tax base is going to shrink.
Right.
And your tax income is going to shrink. And so the only way you can maintain your current level of spending is by borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not wanting to maintain their current level of spending. They want to increase their spending with the result that they're going to end up in massive debt.
Now, a question for you, Tom. This is, of course, been going on now for 3 years. Am I correct on that?
More than 3 years.
Okay.
But three and a half.
Three and a half. All right. What is the mood there in the United Kingdom? I mean, are folks getting distressed?
Fed up.
Yeah.
There's a growing feeling of people saying, I don't care what you do, just get it over and done with.
Wow. Okay.
Which is, of course, a very dangerous attitude to take.
Well,
that's when you start making really big mistakes, I think.
All right. We'll continue to pay attention to this. So nothing much. When does Parliament sit on Saturday?
Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, right after the EU summit meets. The EU heads of government.
Okay. All right. We'll be paying attention to that next week. We'll talk about that with you. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Before I move to China and events there, the Extinction Rebellion brings London to a halt?
Yeah, the Extinction Rebellion are the climate change activists.
Oh.
And they have basically blocked all the bridges crossing the Thames.
Okay, it's called the Extinction Rebellion. Very interesting.
Extinction Rebellion.
Okay, okay. And who are we extinguishing?
It's talking about extinction of the planet.
Planet, okay. All right, that's good.
Chained themselves and glued themselves to government offices. They've blocked all the main arterial roads and
bridges.
How often
are they doing this?
It's supposed to last all this week.
Okay, so they're doing it now. It's underway right now.
Yes, they're doing it now.
And to what purpose?
Well, to basically try and draw the attention of people to the climate change problem and to try and force the government to move faster.
Okay, two items. Number one, mobilize the public to support their program or anger them? I would think it angers them. Your thoughts?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
All right. And then,
I mean, obviously, there are a lot of people who support it, because there are a lot of people who believe in climate change, but a lot of people think this is the wrong way to go about it.
Right.
You know,
right. The other question.
There must be a better way than making everyone else life.
Absolutely. The other question is, what do they expect government to do? What exactly? I mean, they want government to facilitate, I guess, the reduction of carbon. But how? I mean, specifically, do they give you a case? Do they give you, for example, shut down all automobiles or do something? Is there something specific?
Yeah, things like that. I mean, yeah.
Well, do they denounce it?
Not shut down all automobiles, but basically, encourage the faster introduction of electric cars, or to build more wind turbines, and more nuclear power plants quicker and faster.
Okay.
And so forth.
Any of these folks have any knowledge of economics by any chance?
Yes. You know, there's some very smart cookies in this. I mean, you know, please, you know, do not, you know, they also, you know, they are focused on climate change.
Okay.
They do believe in climate change. They point to the North and South Poles disappearing.
All right.
And the fact that sea levels are rising.
Well, and that has happened historically, but we won't get into that. Let's move to China and two items on China. Let's first talk about China blacklisting over, well, actually the Uyghurs, but segues beautifully in the issue of the Houston rockets. But first, let's set the picture, the background on this. Chinese companies blacklisted over Uyghurs, and of course the Uyghurs are a Muslim, a Muslim subgroup in China.
Subgroup in the far western corner of China.
Uh-huh.
They are a Turkic-speaking group.
Right.
There's a sort of Turkic-speaking tribes which stretch all the way from Turkey to where the Uyghurs live.
Okay, real quick, here's a quick question for you, Tom. What about Erdogan, Recep Erdogan, who wants to see more? He's shown a close affiliation to Muslims. Here is a Turkish-speaking group associated with Turkey.
Interesting. It's interesting you raise that because I was talking with someone this morning about it,
uh-huh.
who's a bit of an expert on it. And he thinks that this could have something to do with Erdogan, and that Erdogan is trying to establish a sort of Turkic nationalism
mm-hmm.
stretching all the way from Western China into Turkey.
Right.
And that it's long been a policy of various Turkish and Ottoman rulers to have this sort of this sort of cultural nationalism
right.
across Central Asia.
Okay, we're running out of time. Real quick question: companies are being blacklisted over Uyghurs. What companies are being blacklisted? What are we talking about here?
Well, we're basically talking about a lot of software companies, I think. Mainly software, social media, things like that. The issue is, I think that China is 90% one tribe, if you like,
mm-hmm.
or one group, ethnic group called the Han.
Right.
And they are trying very hard to basically impose their culture on the minority groups.
Okay. And so who's being blacklisted? I mean, is this because these are companies that are...
Oh, there's several dozen companies that are being blacklisted.
Blacklisted. Because of their opposition to the treatment of the Uyghurs, or...?
No, quite the opposite. Because they are... participating in the suppression of the Uyghurs.
Okay, and so
they're being blacklisted by the American government.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, let's talk about the Houston rockets very quickly. Has that story broken in the UK?
It has. It's not a huge story here.
But it's related.
But it has broken here. It's interesting, you know, they've been playing basketball in China since 1893.
Uh-huh.
And even the Communist Party... was in favor of people playing basketball, even though it was a capitalist sport,
right.
because it encouraged teamwork.
Right.
But basketball is huge.
But here's a question. Is that perceived as hypocrisy on the part of the Rockets? And, well, actually not the Rockets, but the NBA, which is all of a sudden apologizing for the coach's remarks related to Hong Kong?
No, I don't think so.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think they've really made that leap yet.
Oh, okay. That connection is being made here in the States. I just want to make mention of that. So I think that's important.
I think you can almost draw a connection between Colin Kaepernick and this.
You could, and they are. And they're making point of the fact that something such as this would be approved among the NBA players because the NBA has promoted political, if you will, involvement and discourse. And yet we have the coach of the Houston Rockets who tweets out support for the Hong Kong for Hong Kong and the opponents to greater Chinese control. And now the NBA and its president is walking that back. For fear of losing
part of
money.
The problem, I think, is that Yao Ming, who's the big basketball star in China,
right.
and is now the head of the Chinese Basketball Association, played for the Houston Rockets.
That's exactly right. No, it is. It's an interesting. You've got a very good connection on that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, wrap things up with two items here. New Zealand protest of Captain Cook's discovery and Hug a Drummer Day. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. As we come to this final segment, always something to look forward to with a little bit of humor. But, you know, it's interesting, Tom, you have two items here, and I think actually both of them are quite interesting. So we'll go to them very quickly. The first I want to start with, and we're going to get to Hug a Drummer Day here in a moment. But the first one I want to go to is New Zealand protests and celebrations to mark Captain Cook's discovery. Wow.
It's been 250 years uh-huh. since Captain Cook discovered New Zealand. So it's a big, big anniversary.
Right.
But the Maoris are not very happy.
No, I can appreciate
the celebration.
It. Yeah.
They have always had, so shall we say, second thoughts about the fact that they were discovered by Captain Cook because it resulted in a number of wars. And, of course, the Maoris feel that they are second-class citizens. Just like the Native Americans think they are second-class citizens in America. Mm-hmm. So there are protests by the Maoris, and there are celebrations by the descendants of the English settlers. And the two are going on at the same time.
I can appreciate that greatly. All right, now let's talk and wrap it up with Hug a Drummer Day.
Well, you know that child you've got that sits in the back room of the garage with the sticks and the drums and bangs on them.
Yeah.
And you want to stick your fingers in your... Well, take your fingers out because it's National Hug a Drummer Day tomorrow.
Oh, we will be sure to make mention of that throughout the programs tomorrow. So tomorrow is international...
I thought I'd give you a heads up.
Hug a Drummer Day. All right. Always, we always gain new knowledge whenever we're talking to Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And with that, as a matter of fact, I think I've got a drummer in the family. I will go make sure to reach out and hug him for sure. Tom, as always, thank you very much for being with us. Look forward to conversations with you next week.
Always a pleasure, Lockwood.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.